Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Adam Where Art Thou, and it is Sunday, October 23rd, and oh, what an amazing show we have tonight. It's going to be wonderful. Hang in there, join us. Williams, your host, and it's going to be an incredible night. So, hey, how is everybody doing? What was your week like? Can you absolutely believe that it's the end of October? Tonight is the last Sunday in October, the absolute last Sunday in October. Cannot believe it. It's just the time is flying incredibly fast. So, get with the program if you have not accomplished everything that you wanted to accomplish for the year. You set your intention for a 2011 that was going to be special. I heard a lot of the New Year's resolutions last year. You have 2 months and about 7 days to make those things happen if they haven't happened already. And I'll tell you something that I learned when I was in law school. You can really save your butt in 24 hours. So you got 2 months and 7 days, listen, you're good to go. So whatever it was that you wanted to accomplish in 2011, if you haven't done some of it yet, then you're still on target. You still have about 60 some 7 days or so to get it done. So, hey, you got plenty of time. And if you haven't set those, if you have accomplished what you set out to accomplish for 2011, then great. So add something to it because you still have plenty of time. Don't take over, don't take your dreams for this year into next year. Still things that you can accomplish. So there's still things that I want to accomplish for this year, so I'm still working on those. So anyway, I have Ronnie on the line with me tonight. We've got a different format this evening. For those of you who are looking for us over on Adam, Where Art Thou? I don't think we're broadcasting over there right now. So I, you know, got a couple of glitches in the system. So we just got to work those things out. So don't worry about it. You're here with us. The phone number to call in is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. And I am going to welcome Ronnie in this evening. And let's see how Ronnie's doing. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I've recovered from wedding gate.
I was just going to ask you, how was the wedding?
Oh, well, they're there.
They're there. Oh, okay.
And I'm
okay.
In,
so you've been working. You've been working all day.
Yeah, and I'm in one piece.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So everybody, if you're listening, you know that Ronnie of Ronnie's Rave is also a phenomenal makeup artist and hairstylist and extraordinaire, actually. Oh, my goodness, yes. So she did a make a wedding today, so I'm so happy that you're here.
Me too.
I'm so happy that you're here. Did you get great pictures?
Yeah, I got a couple of pictures, and believe me, I really should have called and asked you to pray for me. I was a myth of not having you pray for me through this whole event because you know how it can get. So I did get a couple of pictures. I'm sure I'll get better pictures, you know, actually from the event. But it was a challenge. But
oh, well,
we made it.
But next time, too, don't forget, you know, you have a sister with, like, a TV show, so you could always call me to come film some of the makeup and
pictures
and all that good stuff, and then we could do roll-ins on the TV show and do some makeup and makeovers on television.
That could, listen, this sounds like a winner, don't you think?
I think so. Everybody's always so interested in it. So, of course they do. So, So we'll do that next time.
We'll do it.
So you want to do
if we don't if we don't get it in before, excuse me, I'm sorry, if we don't get it in before the end of 2011, in the 67 days, we'll definitely put it on the roster first thing for number 12.
For 2012, you got it. So listen, we are waiting for our guest for tonight. So why don't you go? You want to do Ronnie's rave right now while I go check on him and see if he is nearby?
Oh, absolutely, no problem.
Okay,
I'd be happy to do that.
I'll take it away. I'll be back in a second.
Okay. Well, this week I am still, believe it or not, intrigued by the outcome, well, the continuous coverage and the continuous developments with the Michael Jackson trial. And I can't wait for it to be over because I know that their family just needs to be able to put this behind them and get on with their lives. The kids look great. They seem to be doing a lot better, as best as they can. But we spoke about it last week, and I really am at a loss for words, wondering what is going to happen to this Dr. Murray. I really am not sure whether he's going to end up in jail or whether they're going to just let him walk away, or if he's going to have to pay a huge fine, or if he's ever going to be a doctor again. I'm amazed that he could even still be alive sitting in the courtroom. I don't know how he does it every day. You know, the expert testimonies that have come in day after day after day. And it says something about someone who can sit and listen to, you know, when you go to med school, I don't think it's anything easy. And so after you've put in all your years and time and then in practice and to have experts come in and say you're a bumbling idiot. Excuse me for laughing, because I really don't think it's funny, but it's just baffling to me that he has got the fortitude to sit and listen to him and not jump up and run and grab somebody. This last week he was faced with another expert that had a demonstration of how he gave Michael Jackson.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller.
Hello?
Sorry, go ahead.
Hello?
Sorry about that.
Did your guest arrive?
No. Sorry about that. I was just dialing into Adam because Jay said that we're on Adam as well. So that was my bad. I was trying to mute the wrong line. So go ahead. You know I'm crazy on this.
You're having so much fun. So exciting. But anyway, I'm glad you're back because I don't know if you got a chance to see. I had just mentioned that I don't know where Dr. Murray has gotten the fortitude to sit and listen to the experts day after day, you know, discuss how ridiculous his behavior was in the instance of Michael Jackson's last moments alive. I don't know how he stands it, you know, without running up and choking somebody. So it's amazing to me.
It is crazy.
But hopefully,
and, I was talking to somebody about it the other day, and, you know, they were suggesting that it was really, you know, it had to be hard for him. Now, this was really interesting. It had to have been
hello,
hard
Kathleen. Kathleen.
Hey.
I'm so sorry, sweetheart. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. This is me. I'm sorry, folks. Oh, my God. Listen, I have... explain. I have to explain. I have to explain, folks. And if not, it's all my fault. Blame me. I was very, very sick this afternoon. And I tell you, Kathleen, you actually woke me up when you called me. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm here. The show started. Oh, my God. I followed the sword. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
It's okay, baby. Just feel better. Feel better.
Oh. You know, I'm feeling better. Okay, listen, I'm ready, though. Let's get it going. I'm so excited about the guest tonight. And I tell you, so let me get out the way because I know you were doing something. Let me just step out, let you do your thing, and hey, I'll pick up.
Hey, it might be one of those evenings because he's not on the line yet, but we'll see.
Oh, my God. Well, but you know what, though? Let's do this because I was, you know, the thing is I've always wanted to read his book. And one of the things that that I heard about his book, I haven't read it, because as a heterosexual brother, I just don't think I could. I don't know. I don't think I could read it because I'm thinking, why do I want to read about something like that?
Yeah, a lot of guys have said that, you know, and they've even said, why do I even want to hear about it, you know? And
yeah.
Interestingly enough, though, when he was on Oprah, and we'd probably say that this is, you know, all women or whatever, when he was on Oprah, he told me mm-hmm. that the ratings were highest on those two shows that he was on, the two times he was on the Oprah Winfrey show. So,
mm-hmm.
okay, maybe the heterosexual guys don't want to hear about it, but the women do. So it, you know, it's always good, I think, for guys their ears to at least know what women are thinking and talking about, because you know,
okay.
I mean, you can't really. How are you going to understand a woman if you're dealing with her? How are you going to understand her if you don't know what she's really concerned about or what's really in the back of her mind? So I think just for that. You know, to understand what the conversations are, it might be interesting to note. Because, like it or not, and I think, Jay, we've talked about this on our Saturday night show.
Right.
Your Saturday night show. Look at that. You see how I'm, like, moving in?
Girl, you know, you already moved in, baby. It's all you. You already moved in. Don't even worry about it. But you're right, though. I mean, we have, and, you know, we have Ernest. That's on the network, and you know, and it's interesting when you have, you know, a gay guy that you do a show with, and it's amazing to kind of hear his take on things. But you're right. I mean, we've talked about this before, and it's a difficult topic for some brothers because it's like, oh my God, first of all, how could you do this? And second of all, I mean, what it does, it really goes back to the old. The question is, are you born gay, or do you develop those tendencies? And so, I don't know. It's, I don't know. Tough. I don't know.
Well, if he joins us tonight, and if he doesn't join us tonight, we'll have to apologize to the listeners and have them call back for our next program because he's actually coming to New York to do the TV show on the 30th of November. And then he's going to be doing a workshop here on World AIDS Day, which is Thursday. I want to say that's Thursday, December 1st. We're going to be doing some work together, and I see quite a few calls coming in, and I don't know if any of them are him. So, Ronnie and Jay, I want you to go. You all do me a favor and take it away for a minute. Ronnie was talking about the doctor in the Michael Jackson trial, and I wanted to just say this, Ronnie. This is what I wanted to say about that. Somebody was saying to me that they felt that the doctor. From the very beginning, when he signed on to be Michael Jackson's physician, it had to have been a very demeaning position for him because why would somebody hire a cardiologist to sit at their bedside and watch them sleep while they're on medication? That's the job of a nurse. A doctor would never do it and would never do it and never do it well. And, you know, not a smart person would expect a physician to want to sit there and do the job of a private duty nurse. So
furthermore, he had to be desperate because I'm sure by the time he got to that cardiologist, he'd gone through so many other doctors that said, no way, we see the train wreck, we're not getting on board, sorry.
Right.
But you know what, so though? I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit. I'm going to disagree with you guys a little bit because, you know what, I also saw something saying that it was a huge problem because a lot of these doctors, they want to live that life. And so they are lining up to be the celebrity doctor, per se, because they take advantage of that lifestyle. So even though you may have some out there who may think it's demeaning, but there are a lot of guys out there that will love to say, look, I'm Michael Jackson's personal, you know, physician. And so it really doesn't matter what goes on behind the scenes, per se. It's a situation where, look, I'm introduced to that lifestyle. I'm evolved in this pop star's life. So, you know, you have it both ways.
Well, yeah, but I don't mean that he wasn't excited about it because he got so many girls. I don't know if you've been watching the trial and keeping up, but he had a line of girls that I'm sure would have said ew if they saw him out in the club and they didn't think he was Michael Jackson's doctor. So he got a lot of perks. But what I mean is in the heart of his profession, in the soul and spirit of being a true physician, Michael had been through a lot of doctors in the Hollywood scene, a whole lot of them. And I know that they turned him down because they knew that this was going to be the outcome. That's the same thing happened with Anna Nicole. The same thing happened with Kanye West's mother because she had gone to every plastic surgeon in the area and they told her, no, get your health together, then come back. And she refused it. She kept going and going and going until she got to the position that she had just enough money to make him say, I'll do it. And boom, there she is.
Now, that's interesting because, see, I didn't know Kanye's West mother was sick. I didn't realize that. So that's news to me. I didn't realize she was sick.
She wasn't sick. She had, like, what do you say, contraindications, Kathy? Are you there? Is she there?
She's probably checking phone lines. Yeah, that's a tough
job. Okay, yeah. In other words, she had issues that would complicate the procedures she wanted to do. Had some heart problems. She had some high blood pressure, some other, you know, issues, underlying issues that would make it not safe for her to get those procedures. So with Michael, you know, he had a long-standing addiction, and all the other doctors, including the one that had been giving him the drugs all along, probably said, no. And then the big thing, too, was that he wanted them to go overseas, and this doctor didn't have a license to practice overseas. So what was he going to do when he got there? He was just in over his head. I feel for him, though. Every time I see him on TV, I just don't know how you can sit and listen to people talk about you like that and not jump up and run and spark somebody in the face. But that's just my
Well, hey, you know, the bottom line is he was irresponsible in doing that. So, you know, it is what it is. You're listening to Adam Warrantow. The number to call in is 909-265-91. 8-9, you can call it, the conversation as we await the arrival. Is it J.L. King? Is that the brother that we're waiting on to come in and talk to us about his book?
You know,
it's J.L. King. Check your board, Jay, just in case. Maybe he's on your line.
Okay, well, I'm checking in. We just have people listening, but there's no hands up. So if you are listening over here and if you want to get in, go ahead and press 1. We'll bring you in and be a part of the conversation as we wait for Mr. J.L. King. I saw that episode when he was on Oprah, and I'm going to tell you something. I was so upset. Well, first of all, don't tell my boys I was watching Oprah. All right, first of all, don't tell them that. But I saw the episode when he was on Oprah, and I was like, you know, what kind of brother is this? You know, what kind of brother would do something like this? And I was upset. So I always said if I ever saw him, you know, but I never thought I'd see him or talk to him, so I don't know how I'm going to react if we get him on the line. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
I'm sorry, I just had a revelation. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that out loud. I'm sorry, I told you, I have medication, baby. I'm crazy right now, so just ignore anything I'm saying.
All right, you guys take it away. You guys keep going, because I'm going to check the lines here. So called in.
Jay, what book did he write?
Say what?
What book did he write?
Well, he wrote this book. I mean, I didn't read his book. I saw him on, I guess the name of the book is On the Down Low. And I remember when this thing first hit.
That's J.L. King. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think we were talking about?
Well, because
I
didn't remember. I couldn't remember his name. Because I was so in shock about that whole subject, and so I just kind of erased his name out of my database. Gone.
Yeah, that's how I was as well. I was like, hey, you know, what kind of brother? First of all, why would you do something like this? And you know, it goes back, like I said earlier. I mean, it's just one of those things that, okay, what's the difference? Are you born gay? Do you develop gay tendencies? I mean, I get in trouble every time I ask that question. But you know, I mean, hey. How can you be married with children and then go and do something like that unless you're just trying to live a lifestyle because you're in a certain position in life? Who knows?
Well, I've had a lot of conversations with people that have, you know, that live that lifestyle, and, you know, serious conversations too, not demeaning conversations. And the reason why we don't understand is because we can't. And I really felt relieved when I was let off the hook. If you are heterosexual, you don't have the material, you don't have the tools, you don't have the DNA to understand it. So we're off the hook.
Okay. I guess I don't know what to say about that.
You can try to intellectualize, you know, you can try to intellectualize on it, but it'll never go into your heart and soul because you just don't get it. We don't get it. I don't get it, and I don't try. I don't fight it anymore. I used to try for the sake of, you know, being humane, but because I'm not gay,
okay.
And I never have been, I just don't get it.
Okay, but wait a minute. What I don't get is this. You can sit here and say, okay, well, I might not understand the gay lifestyle, and that's okay because I don't. But here's the deal. What I do understand is the fact that cheating is cheating. I don't care who you are and what you're all about. And so these guys running around here doing these things, not only are you putting your spouse in danger, whatever the case may be, but then you're cheating. I mean, you know, let's talk about that. You're being unfaithful. So, I mean, hey, nobody likes an unfaithful person, whether they're gay or straight. So it doesn't matter. See, I can't understand it just because of that factor alone.
Okay, well, that issue, now that's a different issue. That's a moral issue. So what I'm talking about is the issue of how are you going to be a married man and continue a relationship outside of the heterosexual realm. That's where I'm at. But the issue of being a cheater is a total...
Mm-hmm.
You're just wrong.
Hands can
do
incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hand.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. The Occupy Wall Street protest that started in mid-September with a few dozen demonstrators now has over 15,000 and has spread beyond America. The group has garnered support from some unions and congressional groups like the Congressional Black Caucus. The New Orleans iconic Louisiana Superdome will be renamed to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome after a decade-long search for a potential buyer. The New Orleans Saints football team announced their agreement with Mercedes-Benz, giving the German automaker the title to the 36-year-old stadium in a 10-year lease. The cost was not made public. A judge ruled that the Fire Department of New York has not committed enough time or resources to reverse a long history of discrimination. The judge wrote that the underrepresentation of black firefighters in the FDNY is a direct result of the city's discrimination. Mexico City is considering plans to introduce temporary marriage licenses to help newlyweds avoid the hassle of divorce. The minimum marriage contract would be for 2 years and can be renewed if the couple agrees. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
All right,
so,
I guess.
Yeah, hey, everybody. I'm glad.
Hands can do wonderful things.
I'm so glad you all hung in there. For some reason, I got disconnected, and I'm just talking away, and I didn't realize that my phone line was disconnected, but apparently the PSAs continued to play anyway. So I'm glad you all hung in there. Jay, you do a much better job in the studio than I do, but hey...
Hey, everybody got to get, hey, listen, somebody, you got to get wet sometimes. Might as well get wet live. Oh, man. Well,
what were you all talking about? J.L. King is not here, and I did dial him, and he did not pick up. I hit him up on Facebook, and he did not pick up. But so I'm hoping he's okay, because he sent me a message yesterday saying, you know, we've got our show tomorrow, right? So I'm just praying that everything is okay with him, because he's Johnny on the spot, this gentleman. So if he's not here, if he does call in with us tonight, we will have him back when we figure out what's going on and making sure he's doing good and all that good stuff. So, but anyway, we can still have that conversation. Were you all finished talking about the Michael Jackson case, or did you want to finish up with that and then we can go right into this discussion?
Well, we mixed it up. It was a mixed bag of nuts. We were talking about Michael Jackson. We were also talking about this brother. And one of the things that Ronnie said is that I guess she has friends that practice that lifestyle. And one of the things that they said is that heterosexuals, we would never understand why though they do what they do. And I said, look, I don't understand the fact that you're cheating. Damn the fact that you're cheating with another man or another woman. The fact that you're cheating is out of bounds for me, you know. So that's what we were talking about before the hands jokes or the hands thing came in. So there you go.
Well, you know, I can kind of understand. Excuse me. I can understand exactly what you mean by that. However, one of the things that happened, and this is something that JL will clear up for us when he joins us, or, you know, if not tonight, next time. What he said, when he came one over the first time, he did not consider himself a gay man. When he came on the first time, he was a man on the down low. So he was a man that sleeps with men. And I find this conversation very interesting anyway, because, you know, I used to work in this area. I was an HIV/AIDS trainer and specialist as a nurse. Then when I worked as a professional healthcare trainer, I worked in the area of HIV and AIDS. I worked with a lot of the governmental organizations, and then we did trainings on site for healthcare professionals and for community activists, right? So a lot of the population that I worked with were gay men, gay women, and also we did a lot of talking about the men who sleep with men. They actually have an acronym called MSM. Men who sleep with men. So they don't necessarily consider themselves gay. They consider themselves men who sleep with men. They also don't call themselves bisexual. They also, okay, what was that? Did somebody just sigh?
I'm like, you know, okay, I'm sorry. That was my disgust. Okay, what do you call it then? I mean, if you're sleeping with someone of the same sex, then what do you call that? And you don't call yourself gay. You don't call yourself a bisexual. Okay, what do you call yourself? I'm confused.
I just told you they called themselves MSMs, men who sleep with men. So they're
and
not
what is
gay.
That? Okay, I'm sorry. See, this is starting to bother me a little bit, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll just be quiet. Yes.
They don't consider themselves gay. They consider themselves men who sleep with men. So just like, I guess, there's people that are into MSM or F&M, rather. F&M.
Oh, boy.
People, you know. So there's the explanation. So, you know, an MSM would have to come on and talk to us about it. But as professionals, they taught us, listen, these guys who sleep with men are not necessarily calling, they're not necessarily gay, or they don't necessarily refer to themselves as gay. So however you look at it or however I look at it, if we are working with them and talking with them, they consider themselves not gay. They are simply men who at times sleep with men. So as I heard this from gentlemen who have been incarcerated, they say that there were times that they noticed that there were, you know, none of the guys that I ever talked to told me that they slept with men inside. But they said that there were other guys who were straight who slept with men inside, because that's what they did inside. But when they come back outside, they're straight. I don't know if that helps or hurts the explanation, but if you could kind of see it that way. So anyway, so they back to JLK. So when he was on Oprah the first time, he said he was not gay, he was not bisexual, he was a man who slept with men. And if you remember that show, Oprah was like, huh? What are you talking about? We don't get it, right? So now when he came back, well, not now, it's been a couple of years yet, but when he was on Oprah the second time, he said, listen, all right, here it is. I'm a gay guy. So now he says he's gay. He's a gay man. He's openly gay. He's living his lifestyle as a gay man, and he just straight up admits that he is gay. Okay, so that's who he is. Happily and, you know, comfortable with himself and his lifestyle and so forth. And so now that's the platform that he's on. And he still does a lot of talking to women about men who might be creeping around with other men, helping women to not be petrified about the whole on the down low concept, because there's a lot of talk amongst black women after a lot of this conversation came out about men on the down low and so forth, that they should not be afraid that every single guy they come up against is gay or on the DL or whatever. And women, you know, oftentimes have that concern. So he talks to women about that, and he's written a lot of books about relationships and so on and so forth. So that's where he is. But I would like to hear, Jay, what you think about that whole thing now. So we prep our audience for when JL does get here.
Okay. Well, I'm like Oprah. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense for me. So, you know, bottom line is that either you're gay or you're not. And, you know, this is me. Sorry. I don't know what else to say. But besides that, I mean, you're either gay or you're not. I mean, come on. What's up with that?
And you know, and I can't speak for him now on that part, because it's been a while since we watched that second show, and I can't remember whether he agrees with that or not, but he does say that he is now a gay guy. He sleeps with men. And he sleeps with, you know, I don't know if he sleeps with men exclusively, but he now says that he's gay, and he's, you know, happy with that revelation and being there. So, Ronnie, what is your thought about it? Oh, is Ronnie there? I didn't unmute her mic. Wait a minute. When I came back, I must have muted her mic by accident. But what, you know, the thing is too that the conversation was, it was inflammatory amongst black women, and a lot of black women were talking about, you know, whether or not the guys they were dating were gay, and that's one of the things I hear women say a lot. Are you sure he ain't gay? Oh, he doesn't want to go out with you. He must be gay. Sorry about my phone beeping, everybody. But Ronnie, jump in on that.
Wow. Okay, while you were away checking your board, Jay and I were speaking about it, and I told him that I've had, you know, being that we lived in that world, the big world, because I don't know, I haven't really explored, been around as many people here in this area as I was when I was on the West Coast, where the question was not who is gay, it was who was straight. That was the lifestyle there.
Right.
The straight were the minority. And so I had the opportunity to be involved with, you know, work with and speak with, and I was telling Jay that I got the relief and the release of trying to get it by a number of gay people who told me that because I'm not gay, I'm not going to ever get it. And I felt so relieved and I felt so good about that. It's like, thank goodness, I just can't get it. But what I do know is that the fear amongst African-American women wondering with whether the man is straight or not is because of the death factor involved here. Because Jay brought out a good point. If you're cheating, you're cheating. That's the moral issue. But if you're cheating, you're my husband, and I don't know it, and I contract something that is potentially fatal, you know, this is a huge issue. And so, you know, to me, MSN sounds like a bunch of, well, anyway, I won't go there, but it sounds like another freak show to me. MSN, we're going to coin a phrase for me being able to go out and do whatever it is I want to do and not be responsible to my entire race, because that's basically what's affected in the long term. So I'm glad that the man decided to go ahead and say that he was gay, because basically that's what he is. He's gay. And there was the other gentleman that passed away. What was his name? The first one that wrote the book.
Elon Harris.
Who are you talking about?
Elon.
Right. And that was the first time I was exposed to that whole MSN situation, because one of my friends at work gave me the book, which was a way of him letting me know that he was that. You know, he was MSN. He said, oh, you have to read this book. And I was... You know, of course, you're polite. I started reading the book at work, and then I gave him the look. I gave him the look, and he was like, yeah, don't give me the look. You get it, right? So I got it. That's why, the way he, you know, expressed to me that he was there. But that was the first time I heard about that whole situation. I don't know, Jay, if you read the Elon Harris series. It was
no.
A whole series of books. I didn't think you had, but just in case,
no.
I'm making a reference. I want you to kind of get the. It was a whole series of novels about this lifestyle. Mm. Kathleen, am I right?
I have the series downstairs.
Am I correct though? And it's all entertainers.
Yeah, you're right, and I that's what I said. I have the whole series downstairs, and as you're talking about this, I don't know if there's anybody on the line, and we have a panel full of people on the line listening. If there's anybody on the line who has seen from any other race a line of books about this topic, please hit on and join in this conversation, because the only community that I've ever seen this conversation or books written about it is really in the black community. And it makes it seem like there's only, you know, only, it's one of those other things that I think ostracizes black men and says, okay, it's only the black guys that live on the down low. But didn't we have, what was the person in New Jersey that just had this experience? He was married with kids and he was sleeping with some man, right?
Wasn't he the governor or the mayor or something?
The governor of New Jersey. And then we had, well, and I'm not going to say that Eddie Long did or didn't do what he did. So I'll just say.
What about that minister? The minister that was with, he was a Caucasian minister.
Yes. And we can't talk about the priests, right? Because they weren't sleeping with women. They were only, you know, abusing. They were pedophiles, abusing little boys. But there
has
been
this man women. Has married. He was head of the church. He and his wife were the head of the church. And he was married with children, and he had been having male escorts as lovers, and he was smoking meth. It was bad. It was really bad. And she wrote a book about it. It wasn't a novel series, but at least it was a reality series about how she was able to overcome the situation, and they stayed together. They're still together, but they were excommunicated from their church. I don't know if they ever got reinstated, but... That was that book, I do know, is available. I don't know if the other wife wrote a book, from New Jersey.
Right. But it happens outside of the, outside of the black community. But the, women, or we hear it a lot in the black community in particular about women being concerned about whether or not that their guy that they're dating is on the DL. And it's a very common joke that we hear quite often, so... I think
this because the gay guys in the other communities are gay and without a problem, and African American men are not allowed to be gay in the community as a male. If you get my drift, in other words, if you're flaming and feminine, you grew up that way. We had kids that grew up with us and they were young and they were very feminine and that kind of thing, and everybody already knew that was the deal. But if you're a regular guy, you go to work every day and you come home with a briefcase and so forth and nobody knows about it and you have the tendencies, you're going to really feel it in the black community because the men are supposed to be really more macho and more aggressive and more masculine.
Dave, what do you say about that?
Well, you guys are really heading into a territory that I don't frequent in. And so it's very hard for me to have a conversation about it because on one hand I do understand, and I really appreciate what gay people have to go through. Some people like to try to compare their plight with African Americans. See, I differ from that. I think there's no comparison when it comes to that. However, there are some similarities.
There's
some similarities, and that's why I said there are some similarities. But like I said, to me, you're talking apples and oranges. But at the same time, where I was going was that for me, it's difficult to have this conversation because I can't imagine. I mean, if a man accidentally spits in my mouth by accident, if he spits on me, I'm going berserk. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'm like, ooh. So it makes me cringe when I think about this stuff. But, hey, sorry.
Well, nice to know you.
Okay.
It's good. I feel confident now.
Now, this is where
it's the win around.
That was crazy. But listen, though, herein lies the dilemma. The dilemma being, and this is what, what gay men usually talk about, what they blog about, talk about, what non-gay people talk about, is that being gay and black is the double whammy. Because black people are much more homophobic than other races are. So
that's
is
true.
That true? That's true.
I think it is.
And I find it very interesting, too, because the black church tends to be very vocal about the fact, I don't know how many times in how many different churches I've heard, it's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. We hear that all the time. And yet and still, the same churches, that there are gay people right there in church. Not only in the choir, but in the pews and, in the ministry and all of that. So,
I heard Joel Osteen denounce it, too. I have to interrupt right there. I'm sorry, but Joel Osteen said it. He didn't use the slogan. the catchphrase, but he definitely, they put him against the wall, and he just said, listen, that's the way it is. It's written. I didn't write it. You know, I don't discriminate. If you come to my church, I have love for you. I'll take care of you. I'll do whatever I can for you, but we know it's written, so that's the way it is. So it's not just the black churches. The other churches do that have the heart and they're not afraid will say it. It's just that, you know, that doesn't allow you to discriminate. So whether they're in the ministries or they're not, whatever, it doesn't allow you to discriminate against them. But the, you know, the natural, well, the natural human nature is not to have a male and a female made it with a male, you know, females and females together, males and males together.
Okay, let me step in here. We have a phone call from 706.
Hey.
706, welcome in. Adam, where art thou? Who's this?
Hello, this is Diamond.
Hey, Diamond, what's going on?
I just wanted to comment about the topic tonight and just...
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, I don't know her name, the lady that's speaking, is she religious? Or in some kind of church or anything like that, or I was just curious, is she religious?
Ronnie?
Am I religious or do I go to church?
Yes.
Yes, I go to church. I definitely do.
Okay.
I'm not religious. I'm very spiritual, but I definitely do go to church.
Okay. I was just wondering, I know like when you made a comment earlier and I was just like, you know, whatever people do, you know, that we're all going to be judged. So if somebody chooses to live that lifestyle, you know, they're going to be judged for that lifestyle. But, you know, even though I cannot judge them, I don't want to like glorify it either. Because I know it's wrong. And, I just wanted to just say those words. I just felt like kind of you were like glorifying it.
No, I said we can't discriminate. I'm not going to discriminate against somebody for whatever lifestyle they live. I said discriminate. I didn't glorify it. I said you don't discriminate. Just like he said that a lot of African Americans have a tendency to be homophobic, and we also have a tendency gay people try to align themselves with African-American plight, meaning that they felt we were discriminated against the same way they're discriminated against. And so what I'm saying is that I'm not going to discriminate. I have gay friends. I'm not going to discriminate against them because they're gay. I'm not going to not be friends with them because they're gay. But I definitely, it's written in the Bible, period. I'm not the judge. I'm not going to say what they do. That's between them and God to settle.
Right.
I'm not glorifying
homosexuality
at all. Mm-hmm. And also earlier we were just saying that we don't get homosexuality because we're not homosexuals, and we don't have to get it. It's not our place to get it.
Right.
Thanks for calling. I'm glad that you got a chance to speak.
Well, I just want to, you know, I heard the comment. I was like, I don't want to glorify anything that I know is wrong. And I said, you know, I just wanted to.
What comment was it that you heard? Because it might not have been Ronnie. It might have been me.
I don't know. The guy that's talking, and he said something about gays, and then something about, I think you had said something about, like the tone you use is if, oh, somebody's saying something about gays again in a bad light, the tone you had used. And I was like, well, you know, that's why I wondered if she's
me.
A religious person, so she may not. Oh, okay, well, then I'm sorry.
But
I heard that from somebody, and I heard that from somebody, like the tone when somebody was talking about, like, how gay people also go to church. And I was saying, well, you know, they go to church. They might be trying to change that spirit upon them. Because it's a spirit that's upon you, an evil spirit is upon you whenever you do any kind of sin. So I said they may be going to church to get that spirit off of them or have that spirit prayed out of them. So that's why I heard somebody had said something about, well, there's gays that even go to church. So how can they say one thing about them being gay in the church when gays go to church? Somebody had made that comment. I'm not sure who.
Okay, that was Kathleen. I'm sorry. That was not myself. That was Kathleen that said that.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just wanted to comment on that, and I thank y'all.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, sweetie.
Okay.
Kathleen, would you like to defend yourself? Yes.
I don't even remember now which comment that, you know, I'm
oh, man.
What I said, or what she said I said, that I said. I don't remember where we are with that. But however, I did say that there are, of course there are gay people in church. There are gay people everywhere, you know. What was I talking about? There are gay people in church. Oh, I know. I know what I said. I said there's so. I can't tell you how many churches I've been to that, you know, they say it's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. And I hear that in church all the time. And there are gay people in church when they hear it. What I was saying is that the homophobia that somebody have. Okay, do I have a line unmuted or something? I hear a lot of background noise.
Oh, yeah. The wedding party just returned. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
you can turn my mic off. Go ahead and turn my mic.
Okay. The comment was the black community we're talking about whether or not the black community is more homophobic than other communities, and also, therefore, is it true then that black women tend to be more focused on men being on the down low than other communities are? And also the comment that I was making was, I don't think that you see as many books and book series and conversations about men on the down low in other communities as you see it in black communities, which is why it gives rise to this whole conversation and gives rise to the success or the wild attention to the conversation that JL brings forth, which is his life. You know, it's not just a conversation for him. He's talking about his life. And he lived his life on the down low. He was married with children and sleeping around with men while married with kids, and his wife was unaware, his children were unaware, only he and God and his lovers were aware of the lifestyle that he lived. So one of the things that he talked about also was the fact that when he came out with this conversation, and I don't want to speak for him, so I won't, but when he came out with the conversation, he had a lot of backlash from the black male community, men who were on the down low and straight men. And he said that he got death threats and all kinds of things when he started talking about this because they felt like he was exposing something that a lot of these guys who live on the down low were keeping silent. He was calling out people in the church. He was calling out people in professional sports. He was and not by name, mind you, but just saying, look, it's prevalent, it's out there, and you need to be aware of it. So people were in an uproar, and you know how the whole fear factor goes. And black women, there he is. Hold on a second. Jay, take it away for a minute while I talk to Mr. J.L.
Okay, all right. You can call in 909-265-9189, or you can call in on 347-8501-272. It's Adam or Art there every Sunday night. We're here, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, talking to you guys tonight. We're talking about, hoping to get in J.L. King. He's the author of the book On the Down Low. He was on Oprah Winfrey. This is the brother who was living a lie. I mean, you know, just call it what it is. He was he had a wife and kids, and meanwhile he was sleeping with men. And so now he's finally come out and confessed that, hey, I'm a gay guy, and he's liberated and he feels great about it. But, you know, the show that I saw that he was on, it was a very testy show because people, you know, I think there's a sense of betrayal when you are married. Not only, think about this, ladies, you are a wife, a mother. You're married to your husband. Not only do you find out that your husband's cheating on you, But then you get the double whammy that your husband is cheating on you with other men. I mean, so what happens to your self-esteem? What does that say about you? I mean, so it's a crazy situation. And I remember watching the show, and I was like, you know, this, somebody needs to knock this brother out. But, you know, but that was the young me. I mean, that was, I guess I wasn't too young, but it was a situation where I just felt like, how can you do something like that? And I think I was more upset about the danger that, the potential danger that he could be putting his family and his wife in versus the fact that the guy was sleeping with other dudes. I guess that bothered me. But it sounds like, Kathleen, you're back?
I am back, Jay, and that was JL. He was indeed having some trouble with his phone lines all afternoon, so he said he's back up on Sprint. The lines are back up, so or Sprint or T-Mobile or whatever service. Mm. He's back up on, so he'll be calling in any second, and as soon as he calls, he's here, so he's on the line, and Jay, I'm going to ask you for the sound effects as I present to some and introduce to others. And since we are so far into the show, Jay, will you be able to hold the break off?
Hey, listen, we can do whatever you want to do, girlfriend. I just can't wait to talk to this brother. We have a phone call, so as soon as we get him in, we have some phone calls whenever you want to open the lines.
All right, I'll let you know when. So we are going to present to some and introduce to others. Mr. J.L. King, you saw him on the Oprah Winfrey Show. You have seen his name all over. He's been on magazine covers. He's written 9 books or more on relationships and his life and his experience. And I thank you so much for calling in to Adam, Where Art Thou? Welcome to Adam, Where Art Thou? Mr. J.L. King. Yay! Hi, JL. How are you? Thanks
hey,
so much
Kathy.
For being here.
Let me apologize for this delay, but the tower here in Atlanta, where I live, was damaged this morning. And so all of our services are being, down all day long.
Oh, and we certainly empathize with you, and thank you so much for calling in when you could. You know, it was great of you to call in even now, and we'll probably have to have you back again on the radio because we have been here just, going over the topic a little bit. I've been doing my best to just share a little bit about your experience. And I said, well, let me, I don't know, people know I'm on the radio and they call me. share a little bit about your experience on the air. So we just would love to have you join into the conversation, clear up some of the misconceptions, and answer, some of the questions that we've had, and also then take us right into the conversation about your latest book and the tour that you're bringing to New York City soon. If we can start a little bit with your background, your history, JL, and then we wanted to talk a little bit about the DL lifestyle, if you don't mind, and then we can go into as many of the other topics that you were talking, that we, you and I talked about.
Right. Well, you know, first of all, I tell people all the time, if you have not heard of me, you must have been living on another planet for the past 10 years. Because, you know, I have been on this journey to educate and empower and sometimes even expose the double lives that a lot of men live, starting with my own life. You know, I was first discovered by Oprah. Oprah did not discover me. She was the one who gave me the international exposure about my work back in 2004. But prior to that, I had already done Larry King and Barbara Walters and BET, and I had been all over the place just more or less talking about the impact of men who live double lives, who put their wives and their women at risk. Not necessarily, you know, about HIV and STDs, but just the emotional scars that they leave behind if they are discovered by their woman. And again, I started this journey out in probably 2002. You know, just basically I wrote the book on the download, A Journey into the Lives of Straight Black Men Who Sleep with Men. And it was a book about my own life because I knew that this message would have such an impact around the world that I didn't want to make it research-based. I really wanted to talk about my own life and put a face to the behavior. And it kind of took off from there. Since then, you know, the first book on the down low has sold over 1 million copies. You know, I've been on Oprah twice. It still is a required book at over 80 universities. It's been translated into 25 languages. It's sold all over the world. And it is the book that sparked conversations in the black community about sexuality and about relationships and, more importantly, about HIV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one of the ways that I met you originally way back in the early 2000s is when we were talking about, the whole HIV conversation when I was an HIV/AIDS trainer. So it's wonderful to be reconnected with you, and I'm excited about the fact that you're continuing the work and also the books and so forth that you have been writing on the topic. But one of the conversations that we had here is, as we were waiting for you, is that some of the men, and you can answer this question, a lot of the straight men and my audience, a lot of straight men in my audience, and they're asking me, well, why do we need to listen to this? You know, why do we need to have this conversation? So I wanted to, and I was saying, okay, of course I can't speak for you, but I would like to have you just address that question, because many of the men say that, and many of them even, and you know this already because you shared this with me before, many guys get angry when they hear the topic in the conversation. So let's talk a little bit about that and what your life was like when you, disclosed this and wrote this book.
Right. I'm glad you wanted to start out with that and to have a conversation and really deal with that question from heterosexual men. And my message has always been to heterosexual, a.k.a. straight men, that, I'm a father of two sons, two heterosexual straight sons in their 30s. My youngest son is 30, my oldest son is 33. And I'm a young father. I have a daughter who I love. And I think it's important for brothers particularly to really want to know more about men who lie to their women about their sexuality, because if you do not step up to the table and get educated and get as much information that you can about these men, then you are as guilty as the men who are lying to their women, because then you are not equipped enough to protect your own daughter, your sister, your mother, because of your own homophobic fears. And because of the fact that HIV is taking its toll on black women, and that black women are on the face of AIDS, and that young black women from the age of 13 to 18 are being impacted at such an unbelievable rate, including now our senior citizens, your mothers and your grandmothers, who are still sexually active, are still getting impacted with HIV. For a heterosexual brother, man, to say they don't want to talk about this or they don't want to know about this, but yet you are call yourself a leader of a household or a family or a community where HIV is taking its toll on our community, or you may have a daughter or a sister or an auntie or a cousin that you care about, and you don't want to know about this so you can protect her or at least give her the information that she needs so that she don't end up being a victim? What does that say about you?
Well, let me not speak for the brothers, but I do want to say this. Because I had this conversation. So when the response that came to me, to what you're saying right now is, I don't need anybody to teach me about who's gay and who isn't. I can spot somebody who's gay I can spot them and I can spot them immediately. I don't need to have this conversation in order to help me. So, Jay, can you jump in on that? I don't know. I haven't heard you say that. I'm calling you out, but Jay is my co-host, JL. So I'll differentiate. JL, I'm calling Jay the co-host, who I don't know if you said that, Jay, but have you, what do you think about that?
Can I answer that, please? Because I'm about to explode. If I don't get Jay, excuse me, but let me talk to that.
Go ahead, JL. We don't want any explosions.
The only reason that's some bullshit. Excuse my language. That's some bullshit because a straight man who says that statement that's a stupid ass. I get upset about that because a straight man cannot always identify a man who's having sex with men. The only men that they can identify are those sissy punks And those guys they see on TV, those guys who are switching and swatching, those guys who dress in women's clothes, and those guys who are not embarrassed about saying who they are. Homosexual men do not have an interest in women. If thou low brothers, bisexual men, who are football players and rappers and play for the NFL and the NBA, those guys who you should pool with, who go to the same bar that straight men go to, who date and holler at sisters just like straight men do, those guys who may be their best friend of a guy who's sleeping with other men, those are the guys that you cannot tell where they're coming from, including me when I was out there. All my boys didn't have a clue what I was doing. I had a girlfriend, I had a wife, I was a father, I had kids, I was going to church every Sunday, I was not going to gay clubs, I was talking about faggots and all that stuff just like they were doing, but yet when I was with them, I was sleeping with dudes. So for you to say they can tell, that's the worst lie and oh my God, no, you cannot tell. That's why you need to know so you can be able to at least know some of the behaviors so you can educate those female members of your family that you love and protect.
Now, I'm glad you said the men who have sex with men, because earlier I don't think I did a very good job, but I was trying to explain as when I was an HIV/AIDS educator that there is a category of men that call themselves MSMs, or men who sleep with men, and they do not consider themselves gay. And I remember when you first came out with your book that you classified, am I correct that you classified yourself as a man who slept with men but was not gay?
Yes, when I first came out, I sure did. Like, I have so many friends and buddies and colleagues who are around the country who are in the military as well as in all aspects of life who do not consider themselves as gay, but they still have sex with men. I think that in our community, we get so caught up on labels, and it's the label that calls a lot of these men to stay very low to what they do. But the bottom line to what my message has been and my impact on my ministry, if you may call it, is just to provide education and not worry about labels or not worry about who's going to call themselves gay or not. Why waste time trying to have someone claim to be gay if that's not what they want to do? What we need to do as a community is start educating our women to stop giving up their bodies so fast just because of what they see or what they hear, and not doing their homework or not getting tested or asking that brother to wear a condom. That's what we need to be having a conversation about instead of worrying about what somebody called themselves or not.
Jay, you wanted to jump in?
Well, I don't know. I guess for me, and what's up, JLJ Ryle here, man.
Hey, what's up,
I guess
what's up,
for me, man, not a problem, brother. I guess for me, man, I kind of heard what you were saying in the beginning about, you know, how straight guys want to know this and want to know that, and then you talked about the responsibilities of straight guys that they should want to know about, you know, down low brothers because of mothers, sisters, you know, and things of that nature. I guess my question to you is that did you not, and I haven't read your book, so maybe you explain this in your book, but for the audience that's listening here, I guess my question for you is this. I mean, did you not think of those things while you were out there doing these things? I mean, when you had a wife and kids?
I didn't.
Okay.
I was selfish. And the only thing I thought about was my own selfish sexual desires.
Uh-huh.
And I think that we get to a place where God uses us, where I think he says, like he said to me, hey, enough is enough. Because if you look at the numbers and those who work in HIV prevention, they were only putting all their efforts and all their money into educating the gay community about HIV prevention. But at the same time, they kept seeing just a very fast rise in HIV infections in our female community. So no, bro, I was one of those brothers that was guilty, and I'll be the first to say that with my wife, and even after my divorce, all the women I had sex with, I wasn't even concerned about them. I was so caught up with my own desires. So I guess now that I have become this warrior to not allow men who won't tell their wives to give them the education to say, this is what's going on. Look at me. Look at me. Do I look gay? Do I act gay? Do I talk gay? So that's what I do today, man. Yeah, I think that I was guilty, but I'm glad I saw the light. I'm glad I was able to come out of that shadow that I was in. And I had to apologize not only to my ex-wife, Jay, I had also go back and apologize to about 15 other women who I was with who did not have a clue that I was also sitting with men.
How did they react when you told them?
Well, my ex-wife, she caught me. If you read the book, she caught me. She caught me with a dude, and she went in a total breakdown. It almost emotionally killed her, Jay, and it took her a long time for her to forgive me. It took her a long time to forgive black men, period, and it took her a long time to start really opening up and want to date again. Now she and I are the best of friends. She's remarried, and we get together probably as often as we can with our family. All the other women I had been with, some women were upset, they were mad, they cried, they had emotional breakdowns, and they were angry with me because they wanted to know why I lied to them. I had a couple of sisters who said to me, hey, why didn't you give me a chance to make a choice and decide if I wanted to be with you or not? But when I told them about my fears of being in the church, my fears of losing my family, my fears of losing my friends, you know, and why in the black community, because it's so homophobic, why a lot of men cannot tell their women. Those men who even want to tell, they cannot tell because of being ostracized from the community.
Now, JL, one of the things that we talked about earlier, too, and something I think is really important for us to bring up, is that there is and you talk about this, too, there's an outcry amongst black women in particular about, you know, being concerned about any guy that they start dating with, that he may be on the DL. And this is something that we see in the black community more than any other community, and I just wanted you to talk a little bit about that.
You know, my book first came out, and after I did the Oprah show, it was such a major, I was probably receiving between 10,000 and 15,000 emails a day from women who was just like pissed off and said, I'm never going to have sex again. I'm never going to date again. And they were accusing every man that they met of being on the down low because of the fear, because of how my book and how I came out. And a lot of women who saw me on major TV shows looked at me and said, oh, my God. You don't look gay. I would date you. Oh, my God. You look like somebody that I've dated before. So it caused such a fear around the world that women just really became afraid of men, period. So that's why I wrote this new book and said to women in the book, it's not your fault, and you need to take control of your life, and you need to take control of your body, and you need to have better decisions of what you do when you start dating somebody. And I don't want women to not trust black men. Again, I'm a father of two adult brothers, and I want my sons to date and get married and have women to trust them. But it's important that black straight men step up to the plate and do their part to ease that fear in our community. Because if they don't say anything, or they feel like they don't have anything to say, or they don't want to be bothered, or they don't want to know the information, then that causes women to have nobody else to turn to get that peace of mind to know that every black man is not on the DL.
You know, that's pretty interesting, too, because there have been quite a few guys that I've just straight up asked them, are you gay? You know, I just ask them. It's interesting because there are some, you know, some guys will just fly off the handle if you ask that question, and other guys will just say no. And funny enough, you know, there's all this stuff going on, you know, the little voice in your head that says, okay, well, he wasn't mad enough when I asked him, so he must be gay, or he was too mad when I asked him, so he must be gay. So there is that little voice in the back of the head of a black woman because of this conversation. So now what you're doing now in your latest book, Love on a Two-Way Street,
it's called A Healing Guide. It's called A Healing Guide to Understanding. That's the name of the book. A Healing Guide to Understanding.
My bad. So excuse me for that. A Healing Guide to Understanding is talking about relationships. So talk to me a little bit about that, and then I have a really important question to ask you.
You know, I have
we have some
right
over
now,
here
I live in Atlanta. You know, I live in Atlanta, and I travel all over the country. I spend a lot of time in Brooklyn, and I spend a lot of time all over the country, really. And I have so many buddies right now who are married or who are engaged or who have girlfriends who are still on the DL, and they look at their wives and girlfriends straight in the eye, and they tell them, no, baby, I don't get down like that. So, you know, you better never accuse me of being like that, because you know I don't even deal with them dudes. And they look at them women, they lie. And when they come to me or when I meet them, I say, dude, why don't you just give her a choice? Or more importantly, why don't you just leave her alone? Because a lot of guys have told me, man, I am never going to tell my woman, never. She will never hear from me, and as long as I can get away with it, I am going to do it. And you'll be surprised at how many men, and I'm not talking about black men, because Latinos and Asians and white men as well, but I'm talking about, because I'm black, I'm African-American, it's my purpose to educate my community. I want women to know that you need to be more careful, and you need to probe, and you need to ask questions. And if that little voice inside of you that I think God gives all of us, that intuition, is making you feel deep down inside that something's not right, before you pursue an intimate relationship with someone, there's several things you need to do that I list in that book to make sure that if you do find yourself in love with somebody who lied to you, at least you won't find yourself in a situation that is going to hurt you for a lifetime.
Yeah. I want to ask you this question, you know, real quickly. What is the percentage of men, you know, when you were living that life, what's the percentage of men you would say black men who lived their lives on the DL?
You know, Captain, I cannot quantitate that, and I've been asked that question at least a billion times, and I can't quantitate that because if you're living a double life and you go to the health clinic or you go to a doctor or you go, you know how you told me if you get an STD, you go to the health clinic and they ask you at the front desk, well, are you heterosexual, bisexual, or homosexual? 99.9% of the men who maybe got that STD from having a homosexual relationship will check, I'm a heterosexual man. So there's no real data to really quantitate what is the percentage of men who are bisexual and who sleep with men, MSMs. I just think that's important that we, as I travel on college campuses and speak, as I do my tour and educate and talk to women about signs and about what they need to do to make sure that they stay in control. And one of the things that happens is because we have so many of our sisters who really want to find a husband or a mate, who really want to settle down and have the American dream that I think that God has put men and women here together to have. Because they're so desperate to find that perfect man, a lot of times women fall for anything. I have a daughter, and I have educated my daughter. I have educated her. I have talked to her about condoms, how to make sure they put the condom on, how to put a condom on herself, how to make sure that she had that conversation about his sexual past, make sure that they both go get tested for HIV, make sure that she sees his paperwork, make sure she doesn't rush to jump in bed with him. I've had that very uncomfortable conversation with my own daughter that a lot of fathers don't even want to have with their daughters or their sons even about their kids' sexual activity.
Interesting. Jay, we have a phone call, man. I want to get to the phone lines. Can we just step out to the phone lines here? I think I know who this is. Universal More Good. What's going on? Is that you, man? Are you in?
Yes, it is. I'm in.
Hey, what's going on, man? You have a question for JL today?
I have so many questions, I don't know where to start. For one,
only take one, Universal, but God bless you, and thanks for calling in. What's your first question?
Well, just for clarity, the word lifestyle is being used. I have a cousin, he's now deceased. He would have been pegged as being gay if one with general knowledge would look at him. But he was not at all gay, and he had to defend himself all the way until his death. He showed me a lot about how gay people are viewed just by how he was treated. And to me, a lifestyle is a fallacy. It is just another way to label and title and classify and spectrumize one thing. Now, the point that I'm getting at is this lifestyle thing. You have people that look like me, look like you, sound like me, sound like you, you plural, and you would never know that they were gay. Now, as far as a person's sexuality, that's a personal thing. If I'm getting ready to do something with your private parts, then I would be interested in making conversation or building interest in that area if I'm sexually attracted to a person. So if a person, and I'm being a person meaning genderless, a person has a sexual interest in someone else, that's the only thing that's separating them from someone who is monogamous. That is the only, heterosexual and homosexual. The only thing that separates that person is what they do with their private parts. So if that subject comes to light, then there must be some interest there. And if a person is like came at, you know, by a gay man, which I've been come at before by a gay man, and it's nothing for me to get offended. That's just their choice. So why would I get offended at a choice that they make? That means that I have a personal issue with the choice that they make. Now, personally, church people, I heard you girls talking earlier before the guest came. You talk this stuff about gay people and it's wrong and this and that and this and that. Okay, have your beliefs. Don't be a conquistador, but have your own beliefs. Pushing your sexuality on someone and classifying someone because of their sexuality is sacrilege. If you look at your Bible and read your Bible, you have done nothing to deal with anyone that is a homosexual. God deals with them. So leave them alone, because if you feel that way about them because of what your Bible has to do, then nothing that the sexual interest would come up that you would have to deal with. So why deal with anyone negatively because of their sexual interest? Because that's the only thing, the only difference, what they do with their private parts that makes them different than anybody else, because they're people that are just like you that are gay, and there is no lifestyle. That's a fallacy, because you have all kinds of people that express their gayness different ways. So saying down low and gay is synonymous.
Thank you for your call and your comment. I appreciate it very much. And I don't, you know, if you got the impression that we were slandering gay people, you're certainly wrong, because you heard both Ronnie and I say that we have a ton of friends. And, you know, and I hate to even use that conversation, but neither one of us, and I will speak for my sister, neither one of us ostracize or slam gay people. You did hear somebody call in and say something about religiosity and so on and so forth and what's in the church, and people made comments about what they believe is right and what they believe is wrong. And personally, I don't want to be hammered by anybody about what my beliefs are, and I don't want to hammer anybody else about their lifestyle. So, you know, and that's something that heterosexual people are complaining about a lot. You know, if you say the wrong thing about anybody, politically incorrect, they all of a sudden they want to slam you. And, you know, I just am certainly not going to slam anybody, and I don't want to be slammed either, especially not here now. But anyway,
hey, I'd like to say that to the brother, that I, first of all, to hear him speak about this is so refreshing. To, you know, to have a heterosexual, you know, I'm assuming a heterosexual, a black man, to call in and say what he said. You know, I was smiling when he was talking, because I agree with him 100%. What a person does in the privacy of their bedroom is their business, and it is not up for conversation. It is not up for dialogue, and it's not up for debate. I tell people in a minute when they ask me what I do behind closed doors, that's my business. You know, who I sleep with does not define me as a father or as a businessman or as an author. And I think that in our community, we are so nosy, and we want to get in other people's business to find out what they do and want to call me a sinner or want to call a gay person this or that or the other. Well, you got just as much sin, as much issues as anybody that I know. And who are you to tell me that God don't love me? And who are you to tell me that God did not made me? God made me. I did not choose to be who I am. Your sexuality is not a choice. Just like you did not choose to be heterosexual, I did not choose to be gay. Just because you did not choose to be black, I did not choose to be who I am. So I think that church folk, which pisses me off to the max, because there's more down-low behavior and underground sexual stuff going on in the church, and I could write a full book just about that. You know, so I hate when church folk want to point their finger and say how great they are or how holier than they are. They are than anybody else. I got too many preacher friends right now who got boyfriends and dudes on the side that they're sleeping with, both in the church and outside the church. Come on, now. Don't even get me started on the church, because that would be a whole conversation.
Talk about that. Talk about that. Talk about that, JL.
JL, hang on just 1 second. I just wanted to say, because that's a really important comment that comes up, and therein lies a whole lot of the controversy, because when we say, okay, you've got the don't ask, don't tell. You've got the conversation about, okay, what is the difference between a gay person and a straight person? It is simply what they do behind closed doors. Now, some gay people get upset about that and say, it's not that. It's more than that. And we want to be recognized and so forth. So, you know, and me right now, I'm confused. Because if I say, all right, listen, I don't really want to know anything about what anybody does behind closed doors. If I'm heterosexual, I'm not talking to you about my sexuality and my sexual experience and all that. I'm just a person that walks in the room. But the thing is, when the conversation about someone who's gay and making sure that you're giving gay people equal rights, that you're not discriminating against them and so forth, the differences are more profound than just what happens in the bedroom. So,
that's,
you know,
right.
I think that it's important that we make that point clear, because it's not just that. It's more
exactly.
than that. It has a whole lot to do with, you know, when someone is saying, okay, well, they've got feminine tendencies. They've got certain kind of the way they carry themselves. They dress too well. Whatever it is that people want to pick up. When people are bullying gay people, it's more than just what they think they might be doing behind closed doors. So it's bigger than just that.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of it is their own fears and their own homophobia. That's why we have so many young gay LGBT youth committing suicide because of bullying. That's why we have so many young African-American, lesbian, and gay kids who are running away from home and living on the streets, especially in New York City. That's why we have so many young people who are in their life now who are comfortable in their skin, who don't get love and support from their families because of their own ignorance about sexuality. In our community, forget about homosexuality. Forget about that. We don't even want to talk to our kids about sexuality, period. You know, we can't even sit down and talk to our daughters or our sons about safe sex, or are you having sex, or talking about oral sex. My daughter, who teaches seventh grade in D.C., do you know, and here in Atlanta, there was a big radio show last week about how many sixth graders, seventh graders, and eighth graders who are getting caught performing oral sex in the classroom, in the gym, in the cafeteria. And so our parents, instead of people worrying about who is switching, who's not, who's gay, who's not, they need to spend more time educating young people about being comfortable in their skin and loving them and not trying to change them, but protecting them. Not trying to bash them, but to love them. So we as a race of people can stop being the last group of people who won't accept sexuality.
Yeah, and we are unfortunately down to the wire on the time frame. The show ends 8:30, so we're at 8:27. So I just wanted to make sure that, first of all, thank you so much for calling in, and I would like to invite you back so that we can talk more about your book and talk more about the parenting aspects of it and co-parenting and your parenting as a gay parent. You said you had a lot to talk to us about with regards to that subject. So I just wanted to, first of all, thank everybody in the chat room, everybody on the phone lines. We have a full house here tonight, both on Ask Kathleen and over on Adam, Where Art Thou. Thank you all for being here. JL, thank you so much. And I'm excited about the fact that you're coming to New York at the end of November. We're going to do the TV show live, and we're going to have you doing a workshop here in New York on World AIDS Day on December 1st. Can't wait to have you in the area with your books and all the information that you bring to the community. We'll be doing lots of promotions about that. And just give us your final thoughts before we have to close out the show.
My final thought is to contact me or know more about what I do and order my new book, go to jlking.net. That's very important. I'm on a mission. Go to jlking.net. I just want to say to your listeners, we all need to get together and stop making or stop having our women be the face of HIV. HIV is not a mandatory disease. Everybody has a choice, and that if you are having unprotected sex with someone who don't know their status or you don't know your status, it is time to stop that madness so we can have a healthier community. And when I come to New York at the end of November, I got a whole lot more I want to talk about. I'll bring it straight, and I'll bring it raw.
You sure do. You always do, and it's awesome that you do that. So if you can hang out with us, we're going to take a quick break and come back and wrap up. I want you to give everybody your information again, how they can get in touch with you, stay connected, and we'll chat and close out in just a second. So hold on. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Adam or Art Thou. I'm your host, Esther Williams. I have with me on the line Mr. J.L. King. A phenomenal best-selling author. He will be here with us in just a minute, giving us a lot more information as we close out. We're going to go to a quick break right now. My co-host here, Dave Riles, thank you for being on the air with me tonight. We'll be back in just a second.
Adam,
where are thou?
welcome back down to Where Art Thou, Kathleen. Great show tonight. As we begin to close it out, JL, we appreciate you being in the house. Kathleen, let me tell you, I think what we did today was a public service announcement. I'm being honest with you. I think we did a community service by having this brother on. I'm serious about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, JL, I thank you so much again for being here. I will call you so we can reschedule and get you back on when you don't have phone issues so we can not cut our time short. But if you would, once again, give everyone your contact information, how they can purchase your new book, and where they can get in touch with you.
My new book, The Healing Guide for Understanding for Women and for any man who want to buy one for their daughter or for their mother, you can buy it on jlp.net. That's jlp.net. And I look forward to meeting everybody next month. I'll come to New York for open forum.
Wonderful. Thank you again so much for being here, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you so much because without you, we would not. So I am Kathleen Williams, and my co-host is Jay Ryle. Thank you so much, Jay, for being here. Do you want to give you gave your final words, or do you have one more thing to say?
All I can say is, once again, folks, we appreciate each and every last one of you. Without you, there would be no us, and we'll see you back here next week.
Wonderful. And Ronnie, I will say goodnight for her. She did a wedding today, and the wedding party just came back, so she had to close out. Listen, to all of you listening, on November 19th, International Men's Day at Black Spectrum Theater, we will have the second annual Great Men of Excellence Awards. The website went up. It crashed within the first couple of days. We get so many hits all over the world. Make sure you pick up your tickets. If you want to be a vendor at the event, let me know quickly. We only have a few booths available. A few booths left, and also if you'd like to pick out an ad. This event sold out last year, and it will have Mr. David Levy, Rockin' David Levy of WBLS, will be in the house. He is our man of the year. Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, who is the representative for Minister Louis Farrakhan in the state of New York and New Jersey, is our keynote of the evening. Mr. Mayor David Dinkins will likely be in the house with the family of Percy Sutton, the owners of WPLS. This is going to be an unbelievable event. Make sure you are there. Get your tickets early. They are only $40, two for $75. So contact me if you would like more information or go directly to the website, internationalmensdaynewyork.com. Thank you again for listening. We love you here at Adam Where Art Thou and Ask Kathleen. Make sure that you have an incredible week. Give yourself a hug. Give somebody you love a hug and a great week. Have a great week. We love you. See you next week. Those are the things that when you're able to forgive and let that thing go, you get the healing. Your whole household gets the healing. Your child gets the healing. And there's an energy and a space from which you can grow now. Whatever you are going through, you can make it. I am unique, yes, but I am no different from any one of you. So I don't know whether or not it's a bad marriage. I don't know if it's domestic violence. I don't know if it's a foreclosure. I don't know if it's a job loss. I don't know if it's whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is because you're going through it and it's meaningful to you. But know this day that you can make. One of the main reasons that I think that it's important for us as single moms to have our sons and our daughters really involved in sports is because this is where they learn a tremendous amount of their skills. Communication, teamwork, accountability, responsibility, nutrition, health, wellness, self-consciousness, all of that. So with that said, I thank you all so much for your time, and I'm going to pass the mic on to the next person, but I look forward to working with all of you a little bit more. Thanks a lot.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make a do with a do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, Princess.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. The Occupy Wall Street protest that started in mid-September with a few dozen demonstrators now has over 15,000 and has spread beyond America. The group has garnered support from some unions and congressional groups like the Congressional Black Caucus. The New Orleans iconic Louisiana Superdome will be renamed to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome after a decade-long search for a potential buyer. The New Orleans Saints football team announced their agreement with Mercedes-Benz, giving the German automaker the title to the 36-year-old stadium in a 10-year lease. The cost was not made public. A judge ruled that the Fire Department of New York has not committed enough time or resources to reverse a long history of discrimination. The judge wrote that the underrepresentation of black firefighters in the FDNY is a direct result of the city's discrimination. Mexico City is considering plans to introduce temporary marriage licenses to help newlyweds avoid the hassle of divorce. The minimum marriage contract would be for 2 years and can be renewed if the couple agrees. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News.
Now listening to Ask Kathleen. We are going to go ahead and close out early tonight. Thank you so much again for listening. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you. And it was a great show, wasn't it? It was a great show. Usually I have a ton of people to close out the show with. And, you know, everybody's kind of pooped because that was a action-packed show. It was tiring and thought-provoking, and, you know, J.L. King is always very provocative. And this is a conversation that really gets the hairs up on the back of people's necks. You know, how do straight people and gay people live together in harmony and understand one another and accept one another, particularly with all of the religious concerns that everybody has, what's in the Bible, what Christians believe about marriage and marriage being between a man and a woman. How do we make it work? You know, it's something that has been a, should I say, fiery conversation since the beginning of time, and it's something that is just not going to go away. So interestingly enough, it's something that is has been brought to the forefront, particularly in the black community. We have the HIV/AIDS conversation. We have the on-the-down-low conversation. We have the conversation about black men, period. There not being enough African-American men. There's all the men are either in prison, they're gay, on drugs, you know, whatever they happen to be. Has been a conversation that we hear over and over and over and over again about black men. And one of the things that I really, even though we highlight this conversation and really do believe that it has been a community service announcement, it has been a discussion that we need to have in our community, what I choose to do in my life, what I choose to do in my work is highlight great men of excellence. And that's what we'll be doing on November 19th, highlighting great men of excellence, highlighting the fact that there are men in our communities all up and down the coastal regions of the world that do incredible things on a daily basis. They take care of their children. They take care of their wives. They take care of their families. They create new technology. They come up with incredible things that make the world a better place. They, you know, they sow into the lives of people near and far. And those are the men that I have been blessed to have in my life, and I don't ask them what their sexual orientation is. I don't ask them whether they're straight or gay, but I do ask them whether or not they take care of their families and whether or not they're interested in making sure that this world is a better place for the generations that come behind us. The concern, the primary concern that I do have in my life is making sure that that my son and the young men of this world have male role models to look up to, that they are prepared for life as they will be experiencing and living it, that they understand that there are straight men in the world and there are gay men in the world, that they are not forced into a lifestyle of being gay, they're not forced into a lifestyle of being straight, and they don't have to explain themselves for either one. Now, I am a Christian woman. I do go to church. I do believe in the Bible. I believe in what Jesus Christ said. I believe he lived and walked the earth and died and rose again on the third day. I believe all of that. And therefore, I believe what the Bible says, that the marriage is between a man and a woman. And yes, I know that the Bible may not say that specifically in that way, but that is what I believe. That is how, and because I believe that, that's how I live my life. So we did not have that conversation with JL about who chooses what lifestyle. He brought that up, and we will likely be able to talk to him about that at another time, whether or not it's a choice or it's the way you were born. I don't have the answer to that. I'm telling you from what I believe and where I live, on what street I live on. And I have dedicated my life to Christ, so while there may be things that I would like to do or try or whatever, whether it's, you know, eat a whole lot of fatty meat that'll give me a heart attack or not, you know, it's just that you make decisions in your life. You want to be healthy. You want to be be a physician. What your choices are, and you live your life according to that. And that's what we want people to be able to do here at Adam, Where Art Thou? That is what we do. And I was really happy about the caller who called in and said, you know, judge not lest thou be judged. Of course, she didn't say it that way, but that's what's in the Bible. Judge not lest thou be judged. And I'll quote my pastor and many other pastors, sin is sin. Sin is sin. You know, it's not a little sin here and a little sin there. Here a sin, there a sin, everywhere a little sin. And, you know, then you have the little sins versus the big sins versus the real big sins. You know, they get you thrown out of heaven. And then, no, it's a sin is sin. And in the Bible, it says that that's a sin. So are we here to judge? I say no. But are we here to make the choices that we believe are best for our lives? I say yes. So that said, we look at the conversations that are important for our families, the conversations that are important for you, answering the questions that you may have, and this is a question that people have. And I applaud J.L. King for writing the books that he wrote. That is his life experience. So I'm excited about what he has chosen to do in his life and the issues that he's chosen to take on for the communities that are interested in it. And again, I worked for years in HIV and AIDS. I worked for years with women of color, both Latino and African American, who were infected with HIV by men who they believed were heterosexual men and turned out that they were not heterosexual men. They were men who were living double lives and sleeping with men and sleeping with women. Many of the women who were infected with HIV were infected by men who were IV drug users, another very common way that people are infected by HIV and progress on to AIDS. We know that there have been many that were infected with HIV through blood transfusions back in the day. That does not happen anymore. But unfortunately, we lost Arthur Ashe, one of the great tennis players and humanitarians, because of HIV infection that he got in a blood. It's like he received from tainted blood. Blood tainted with the HIV virus. So there is still a lot to talk about, and there's so many people who think that HIV is a dead conversation. It is not. It is still the number one killer for young men 18 to 25 years of age. It is still a very, very, very prevalent disease in young African-American women. We African-Americans are amongst the highest populations to be infected by HIV. That disease is not over. So it's important that we have conversations that help us to protect ourselves from all kinds of diseases that are preventable. So as we spoke earlier, the desire is to make sure that all of my listeners have incredible lives and make the choices that will enable them to do so. So while much of the conversation may sound like a downer, I always think that there's a silver lining to everything, and there's always the positive side and the happy side, if you will, the positive side, the way to look at things that empower you as opposed to disempowering you, that encourage you to move forward in your life with anticipation and joy and excitement as opposed to being held back by fears and doubts and, you know, what could be. So as my good friend Mr. Mike Jones would say, check the conversation that you're having in your head. Check it and stop it from it limiting you. You know, have limitless conversations and empowering in discussions and engage in activities that empower you and enable you to live exactly the life and the manner in which you desire to live. So, that said, take control. Take control of your own life. Take control of your own decisions and take control of your own choices and only do those things that will bring you closer to where you want to be in your life. Thank you so much for listening. This is Kathleen Williams on Ask Kathleen. It has been my pleasure to speak with you this evening. I look forward to seeing you again next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. I look forward to seeing you at the Black Spectrum Theater on November 19th. And I also look forward to your participation with SWAG, Men of Sophistication, Wisdom, Accountability, and Greatness. SWAG University is going to take place on Friday evening, November 18th, at three locations around the city of New York. In Long Island, at the African American Museum of Nassau County in Hempstead. In Queens, at IS-59 on Springfield Boulevard, near Springfield and Merritt Boulevards in Queens. And at the Madison Square Boys and Girls Club on Bedford Avenue in Brooklyn. What will be happening, ladies and gentlemen, is we will have great men, men who are adults and have lived lives that are those of exemplary lives, who have families, who have jobs, who have businesses, who are in the field of healthcare, in finance, you name it. They are coming out to have conversations with young men all around the city of New York. We're making it convenient for you. Bring your young men out. And if you are a single mother and you have daughters and you want to have this conversation, come out. Bring the young ladies with you, because we will have in separate rooms conversations and panelists for incredible women. Lucinda Cross is on board, and Sharon Leed is on board, and you name it. We will have the women ready to sit and have the discussions that you need to have with young ladies about men. And the young men will be talking to the older men in separate rooms. So this will be a man-to-man conversation. It's all about becoming a great man of excellence, because that's what's available to you. Thanks again for listening. This is Kathleen Williams. I'm your host, and I will see you next week. Have a fabulous, fabulous week. Good night.